Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton. Co-host Hollywood is off on assignment. We call it AWOL. We are both veterans of the Marine Corps. We are glad that you have joined us for the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. We are thrilled to be broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, and we've got a great show coming up for you. But first, we want to thank some of our sponsors that make this show possible. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg & Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Of course, we'd like to thank you and all of our sponsors and our great listeners. We cannot do this without your support, so please let them know that you've heard it on the Scuttlebutt. SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them, so join the discussion on Facebook or Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. You can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Later in this hour on SBN, we'll be joined by the executive director of the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. She will get us up to speed on the summertime events here at the battleship, and we will also speak with veteran Lou Lateague from the South Alabama Veterans Council. He will give us the latest on the veterans community here in South Alabama. And of course, my tirade on burning down the house. You don't want to miss it, so stay tuned for the fireworks, and our tirade will follow at the end of our show. But first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by a great supporter of our veterans, Mr. Nick DeMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Nick, welcome back to SBN, brother, and thank you for all that you and your great folks at Ed's do for our military, veterans, and our first responders. Y'all have an awesome group.
I'm almost scared to talk.
Why?
Because after that silver tongue intro, as far as what you just did, I hate to even hear my crusty Philly accent.
Well, after 40 years, son,
that was pretty cool, man. Just, you know, watched that, you reading that in there, and you just like in your zone.
Well, you know, you do it so many times and so many years, you get used to it.
Yeah, well, you're a pro, man. That was pretty cool.
Well, I thank you. You guys are pros at Ed's and Sunset Point, Panini Pizza, and the Squid Ink. Awesome.
We got a lot of stuff happening, you know, adjusting in a lot of areas. Most of our facilities, we have open air seating, which helps a good bit. And you know, a lot of students are going back to school. As you know, they start throwing those pigskins and you know, some of the other challenges that are facing us. So we're going to make some adjustments, try to, you know, because our restaurants are busy, we're going to try to adjust some of some of the hours and some of the menus to make our staff not get so fatigued as far as working and whatnot. And then we're just continue to work safely all the time and hiring. I mean, everybody's going back to school, so you're going to lose 30 to 40% of your staff. They're going to go to school wherever they're going. So this is a great time to get a job. You know, you can go on the Facebook, Panini Pete's, Facebook, Sunset Point, Facebook, Ed's, Facebook, Squid Ink, and you literally go to the job section and you can hit us a question and we'll go come interview and we'll get you working.
Yes. And, you know, and you guys are being confronted with so many variables now, but not only with all of our COVID pandemic, and now that it's back, seems to be in just about full force again. We're going to see ourselves go back to all of the mask days, and the people, you know, most of the places, like your places and all, have continued to wear their mask and, continue to do all the safety factors and all. So it's, you know, now the people are going to have to start wearing their mask again, you know. So that's going to be something you're contending with. But I can see you guys having a problem with supplies and being able to get the quantity and quality of the supplies that you like to cook and fix for the people.
Well, just not our industry, but all industries are affected. And yeah, there's from straws to sizes of boxes to you can't get skewers. And so you know, it's like Peyton Manning when he went up to the line and he used to say, Omaha, Omaha. He was calling an audible.
Right.
And in business, you're constantly doing that. You're going to have challenges, and you're going to continue to adjust and adapt. That's why we're the greatest country in the world. We have the ability to do so, and there's going to be a lot of roller coaster riding, and we just need to work hard at adjusting whatever is necessary.
Well, you know, and it's not just your business; it's all the restaurants and all the facilities. Any kind of business, really, the supply and demand is overpowering the source of supply. You know, and I've been in some other restaurants and all; they don't have lettuce, or they don't have crackers, or they don't have butter. Or they don't have this, or we can't, you know, I know that's on our special, but we don't have it today. But then, not only that, then they're still having trouble with their people, you know, trying to get enough people to operate.
Yeah, I think that our customers out there are very smart people. I think if you're having an issue and you're out there, you let them know on the front side, here's what's going on. You know, on a positive note, you know, I'm fixing to put together a cool catering tailgate menu for the long-awaited Alabama, Auburn, South Alabama, and all the other football teams that everybody loves. And we're going to do, you know, it's not going to be just a Yo Mama's platter. We got gallons of gumbo to go. We got big things of slaw to go. And we're going to do different trays of fish. We're going to do catfish. We're going to do whitefish. We're going to do popcorn shrimp. So you can order ahead. We'll have your trays.
Right.
And it's just, it's a little different, you know, than your typical pizza or chicken wings that you're having for football.
Right.
We may even put some curbside pickup down there for them. So we're super excited about that. You know, we got the Bushwhacker machine, and we introduced the kids' milkshakes. We've got four different topicals from Captain Crunch to Fruity Pebbles.
Unbelievable. Man, that is just unbelievable. But, you know, and that's what you got to do, though. You got to be flexible. And as the old Marine Corps says, improvise and overcome, man.
You got to change, man. You got to
change. You know, and just because you got a plan today don't mean that plan's going to work tomorrow.
Well, I think if everyone has a positive attitude and you have a plan to going into whatever you're doing or whatever you're up against, you got a better opportunity to come out the other side and be successful. So,
You know, we're having the same problem on other sides of the fence. We even our Marine Corps League detachment is supposed to have our monthly meeting tomorrow night over at Post 88 on Halls Mill Road, you know. Well, we can't have it because they're shut down. You know, the COVID's got them shut down for the amount of people that they had on their workforce and all. Most of them came down with the COVID, so they shut down and cleaning. So it'll be next week or so before they get back open. And we have to contend with that and move on. We can't get uptight about it.
Yeah, and we've got some options as far as, you know, handling that. And for us, we're good with adjusting mask, sanitizing the building twice a day with this machine that we bought. You know, if an employee doesn't feel well, don't come in today.
Right.
We're going to do everything in our power to stay in business, keep our people safe, keep our customers safe. And you know, I have the greatest business in the world to be able to feed people. There's a lot more serious things going on. And usually when people eat, they smile. So it's not a bad place.
That's right. Yep. if they're getting good food, good service, decent service, as well as we can this day and time with the amount of people that we've got to do, be able to work and perform, you know.
There's a ton of opportunity out there right now. You know, former veterans, I'd love to hire a lot of those folks, and if they need jobs, you know, we have opportunities in restaurants that are very busy that people can make a good living, and, yes, and they can turn it into a career. I love to coach people up, you know, give them whatever I might know, and see them bloom.
Man, as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, General Janet Cobb, the executive director of the Battleship, when we return on the Scuttlebutt Network. Nick, thank you. Appreciate you, brother.
Always a pleasure.
Have a good one. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing a shot right around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. We are broadcasting live from the battleship USS Alabama on Mobile Bay. And it's always a privilege to be joined on SBN by the executive director of the battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. General, it's a pleasure having you on board here with us today, but I'm just kind of blown away with the amount of people that I see on board the battleship today.
Marine, they are from everywhere. Go look in that parking lot at all those tags from the 50 states. It's amazing. We're so blessed this year. And let me tell you that I am joined by my fellow soldier, the great Colonel Lou Lartigue, who probably the number one veterans advocate in this area. He certainly is. Over our South Alabama Veterans Council.
Right. President of South Alabama.
He's president, that's right.
Yes. Yeah, the man.
Veteran of the Year.
Veteran of the Year.
Bay Area Veterans Association decree, and he does a lot for veterans that nobody ever knows anything about.
That is so true.
We outnumber you, right, Colonel?
Right. Yeah.
We got it.
I think he's got 8 days in his week.
I think so.
For all the things that he does.
That's right.
Not only is he doing this for veterans, but we were talking a while ago about all the cooking he does at the church. So.
There you go. That's right.
Concerned with Boston Butts, his favorite
right.
ribs. You
that's
know?
Right.
But it's just awesome. But I'm just really blown away, though. The amount of people here. I mean, you had a couple of volunteers come up and said, hey, if you need a veteran on there from Arkansas, we're here. And another guy comes up from Illinois.
If
you need a veteran to talk to from Illinois, I'm here. You know, I said, well, right now we got it all covered, but appreciate you being aboard the battleship.
That's right. Veterans, non-veterans, a lot of young families, kids.
Yes.
It's been a great summer.
Yes.
Americans, as we talked about last hour, Americans are traveling. People are being as careful as they know how to be. They're choosing whether or not to get a vaccination, to throw on a mask, but people are traveling.
Right. Well, they've been tied up so long with the pandemic and being quarantined in the areas that they had to be quarantined in. With the people that had to be quarantined, and they're just ready to get out.
That's right. It's kind of like the day after Thanksgiving Day is a very popular day here at the park. You know, they've had all the family and turkey and tryptophan they can stand the day before,
right.
And they're ready to bust out. So we have a big crowd the day after Thanksgiving as well. But we've had a great summer.
That is
very blessed.
Well, you have a lot of events that are ongoing now at the battleship. Enlighten us a little bit about them.
On September 8th, the Alabama Department of Labor and the Mobile Career Council will partner here at Battleship Park. We'll have a Veterans Job Fair. This was planned quite a while back, but COVID knocked it to the deck. We're going to be back from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock that day, free for veterans to come, talk to local employers about career opportunities, job opportunities. More to follow on that. We'll have that on our social media as we get more information. But if you're a veteran looking to talk to a potential employer, mark that on your calendar, September 8th from 9 to 2, job fair here at Battleship Memorial Park.
That's awesome. We will endeavor to have them aboard with the Scuttlebutt Radio Show to and talk to our career center people over there and our veterans advocate. I mean, Donald Ciotat, I would think. And one of your officers or one of your NCOs is one of the head chiefs over there now. And so they're doing an awesome job for our veterans, and especially in this Gulf Coast area.
Absolutely, and we can never do enough for our veterans. We need to watch out for our brothers and sisters. And this is just a time when employers are having a tough time hiring. We want it to be a good fit, a right fit for our veteran and for the employer. So this is it's a great opportunity, and glad it's come back around.
And the other good part about that is the government has so many programs that are available now for the employees and the employers for the benefits that are available to them for hiring a veteran.
Sure.
And keeping a veteran on, even though they have to go through OJT, on-the-job training. I mean, there's monies that are out there for that over an extended period of time. There's tax relief for the corporations and companies that hire these people. And it's just an awesome venue that, hey, if you need help, hire a vet.
Absolutely. And there's just the Alabama Department of Labor has just really redoubled their efforts to make this veterans program work. And it's going to be outstanding.
They're doing an outstanding
they
job.
Are. They
but,
are.
You know, there's a lot out there. There's a lot of training that's available. And it's all grant money for the vets. And most of it is grant money for their employers. So it's a win-win for everybody.
It is. We also have the Historic Naval Ships Association Conference coming up at the end of September. We'll have those dates out, and we are very excited about that. We'll have probably 100 to 130 attendees. These are the museum folks from around the world that take care of these historic battleships, cruisers, destroyers, science museums that are militarily based. It's a worldwide organization. We last met in Manitowoc, Wisconsin 2 years ago, and we host this year for the first time since 2009. We were supposed to last year, but it was canceled. So we'll have those folks in. There's a lot of shop talk, a lot of marketing, a lot of fundraising things, because as with all of these parks, we all have most of the aircraft that we have here at Alabama. We own three aircraft. We lease the remainder from either the Navy or the Air Force. Some of our rolling stock out here, our artillery pieces from the U.S. Army Tank and Automotive Command. But we pay for the maintenance for that. We pay for the insurance for that. So a lot of shop talk, a lot of difficulty with these museums and these parks around the world during COVID. A lot of them had local restrictions that were very tough, and some of them could only offer tours on deck, on the main deck of whatever they had. But we have, a lot of folks coming to town for that.
Well, whatever problem they were having, you were confronted with as well.
We were, and thanks to the Battleship Commission, we were able to keep everybody employed here. And while we are facing a new outbreak with this Delta and these other unknown variants, we'll, as every business does, as every church, organization, club, social organization, we'll plow through it, and then we'll do what we can.
You'll get there. It's just but I'm really just very enthused about the amount of people we're seeing here at the battleship, and as you say, in the parking lot, there's just a tag from everywhere.
That's right. It'll be even more packed Saturday. We've had most Saturdays we've had over 3,000 people in July. This weekend is the Living History Crew, August 7th. Get here about 11:30 to get a good parking place. The deck drills start at 1 o'clock. Our Navy reenactors, the World War II folks, will be here. And depending on maintenance and weather, we should have the Yak Attack aircraft attack. At the deck drills start at 1, and then shortly thereafter the aircraft comes. So all weather dependent, and if it's safe for those aircraft to fly.
So what's early?
About 11:30, just because of the causeway traffic, I-10 traffic, getting in, getting a parking place,
11,
and be on the deck.
But
be on the deck about 1 o'clock.
12:30, it'd still be okay?
Oh, absolutely. You just have to fight your way up the gangway, which is good.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Looking forward to having our Living History crew back.
That is unbelievable.
But they berth on board the weekends that they're here. They actually serve as docents or tour guides for us.
Right.
They interact with the public, and they're a great partner here at Battleship Memorial Park.
Well, you've got some other events going on here that Lou and I will be talking about in a little while. One of them is the POWMIA, that recognition and candlelight ceremony that will be on Friday, September the 17th here at which would be at 1830 hours.
He will talk about that. I just encourage all of you to remember, we as Americans can never forget our POWs, our missing in action. And we'll be out that night with the candlelight vigil, and he'll give you all that information. But come join us, and let's remember these people. They're not, generationally, we have to remember. We will never forget their sacrifice.
And you know, back to our battleship phase of it and visitation, there's a lot of people in the Mobile area, in a given area, and within our listening audience that haven't been to the battleship in 30 years or 40 years.
Come on out. We've done a tremendous amount of restoration. We're really restoring the interior of the battleship to life as it was when the sailors were aboard. You'd be probably shocked at some of the improvements and the renovations and the historical things that you've seen. It really looks good down below in so many areas. And we have some other areas we'll work on soon.
I understand that y'all did a lot of work in the radio room.
Oh, we did. Our volunteers at work down there. Several years ago, a former crewman was based in New Mexico. That was his home, and he was an expert in those Collins radios down there, and he would come get batches of them, fix them, and take them back, and a lot of them worked. Now, our ham radio club that's been coming here for decades, a couple of months ago, they talked to folks from all around the world and also from the drums. So it's really neat. Yeah, our volunteers are just outstanding.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, where can folks go for more information locally within our listening audience? And also, this show is on podcast, and it's carried around the world. So
it is.
A lot of people that listen to it. We're getting results back from all over the country. It's unbelievable. Because the fact that it is a veterans-related show.
It is. And thanks to Rhonda Davis, who does our sales and marketing, has driven our media outreach, social media, to new heights during her time here. She's just been here a couple of years. But our website, our website, ussalabama.com, and I'm not a social media hound. I'm not much good at it. But we have an Instagram account, Twitter, Facebook, and check us out. And a lot of great messaging goes on Facebook because we have a lot of information on the restoration we've done, the history, and people are always looking on Facebook to see what we've done, the latest thing our curatorial department has completed.
Well, and it's still, as I say, it's unbelievable. Some of the areas that I've been in the ship are air conditioned.
Yeah, absolutely. We added several last year. So sick bays, air conditioned, it's much better down there. If you got a lay up in a butt, we'll get a doctor to you. Colonel Ortiz, sir, always good to see you. Marine, you too.
Yes, ma'am. And,
where's Cal? Where's that other Marine?
He's AWOL.
Okay, naturally.
He's AWOL.
All right,
and
give him my regards.
Take my picture down out of the brig, okay?
Yeah,
That's bothering me.
Got a cutout of you down there, Tom Claxton. Thanks for coming in.
Thank
I know. Thanks
God
for coming you. Out. God bless you.
You're doing an awesome job here. Thank you.
All right.
And I'll just go to my network, get some more information on the other side of the break. Mr. Lou Lartig, the South Alabama Veterans Council, when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton. Co-host Hollywood is on the road, better known as AWOL. And we're glad that you have joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. We are very privileged to be broadcasting from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama here on Mobile Bay. And we want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, where we are at, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And it is always an honor to be joined by Mr. Lou Lartig from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Got my tongue grab high teeth there. But, Lou, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service, Colonel.
It was good to be here. I tell you what, I have to champion what you said about the number of people on the ship.
Awesome?
I was blown away.
It is just awesome, and they're so enthused, and they should be. about what this ship is and what it represents and what they're able to look at.
Exactly. I had to stand in line coming through the aircraft pavilion. There were so many people down there. So
Yes.
That's good to see. You know, people are still patriotic and want to see this place, and what a great venue it is.
Yeah. But that is so neat, you know, to see all of these people here. And I was telling the gentleman a while ago, we had some volunteers, you know, they're going to be on the show, veterans from different states if we needed them, you know. So, and that's cool. But I mentioned a subject to the general there about a POW MIA recognition and candlelight ceremony that is going to be here on Friday the 17th of September 2021 this year at 18:30, which is 6:30 hours. Give us a little bit of insight on that and what's really going on with this.
Yeah, we used to have one here in Mobile at the battleship, but when they started the one up in Montgomery, a lot of the people who organized and ran it went up to Montgomery to do it, and normally it's the third Saturday, so the Saturday they'll be in Montgomery. So we decided to do something on Friday evening, and we'll do a candlelight recognition and a candlelight ceremony. It's not going to be very long. We're going to try to keep it down to 30 minutes or so. We're going to have the opening and benediction by our chaplain, and Pete Reams going to be our MC, and he's going to talk to us with some facts about the POW and MIA, the fact that Alabama had 1,111 MIAs during World War II, 146 from Korea, 30 Vietnam, 2 from the Cold War, and 1 from the Iraq, and that was a civilian contractor.
Goodness.
So
who would have known?
Huh?
Who would have known? I mean, we just had POW MIAs.
And that's just from
without hearing the numbers.
Yeah, those major conflicts. And as we go through the thing, we're going to do the POW MIA table, and we've enlisted you to be the MC on that one, and we'll go through the POW MIA table portion of the program.
Glad to have the P.L. Wilson Detachment, you know, be able to available to Jarhead Marines be here and support this project, POW MIAs, and is extremely proud to be part of it.
And we, at the end of that ceremony, part of the table is going to be we have a candle.
Right.
And everybody will be given a candle when they come up to the come up for the ceremony, and we're going to invite the people, the family of any POW or MIA to come forward. We'll recognize them and let them light their candle and then go back out to the audience and pass that light around as a way to remember these folks.
That is so awesome.
And we have 15 from the Mobile Baldwin County area that and we are going to have a couple family here. So
do we know all of the families that have POWs or MIAs from this area?
We've looked at the DPAA records and got that. We have that list. Yes, we have the names and what states they're from, and in some cases we have the county or city they're from, like Sims, you know, Baldwin County, and so forth.
So if we have someone listening out there to our presentation here today, does it behoove them to make sure that they are present at this ceremony?
Oh, most definitely. And come a little bit.
Cousin or aunt or, you know, whatever generation, or, you know, whether it be second cousins or if they're in their family.
Yeah, if they could let us know ahead of time, they're going to be here, and we will make arrangements for them to come a little bit early and include them in the ceremony.
That would be awesome.
They can get in touch with me at 251-471-4322, and we will make the appropriate arrangements.
All right. How about giving us that number again?
That number is 251-471-4322.
Okay.
And at the closing, we're going to have our famous bagpipes person play the pipes, and then everyone will quietly depart in honor of our POW MIAs.
That makes the hair on the back of my neck when I hear those bagpipes playing that amazing grace.
And Tim, our Command Master Chief of the Air Force, who's now retired, he's going to be our bagpipe player. So.
Goodness. Now, does he have a special group of songs that he will play, or is he going to play any of the anthems from any of our branches or service or what?
Well, I'm going to get with Tim and we're going to figure that out. We hadn't got that far into the planning yet, but he will play a song to denote the ending of the ceremony. And the next day they have the big POWMIA up at the state capitol in Montgomery. And a friend of ours, Don Westwood, from the American Legion, was instrumental in getting that started. The government put out a proclamation, and it'll be POWMIA Day in the state of Alabama that Saturday. Right. So, and that, you know, if anybody can go up there, the ceremony starts at 10 o'clock, and it's a great ceremony, and they're going to have someone everybody knows, Rear Admiral Richard Landau, U.S. Navy retired, who was who worked for the city here for a while. He's going to be the keynote speaker there. And they will be Marine Corps League, got the Wetumpka High School band and the Decatur Army JROTC performing
at them. We have a situation there that, and on a lot of occasions, most of our people would drive to, Montgomery to that big ceremony.
Right.
But under the conditions that we're working under with our COVID pandemic or semi, whatever we're going to call it, anyway, it's back on. A lot of people are not going to want to take that chance of traveling just for that one day event and then get there and be exposed to all that when they can go to maybe a smaller event, less capacity here in the Mobile area.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of us can't make that trek up there because that makes for a long day to leave here at 6 o'clock in the morning and get back at 6 o'clock at night or later, and so it makes for a long day. But they do a wonderful job, and Jim Jeffries out of Spanish Ford here is one of the key players there, and he does an outstanding
gentleman, and he supports just all of these. He and his organization supports all of these veterans events that we have on the coast there.
Exactly.
And thank God we have things like the South Alabama Veterans Council and some of our outstanding American Legion posts and VFW posts that are stepping forward. And our Medal of Honor group is strong. Our Corps In group is strong. Our Vietnam Veterans group is strong. We just have an unbelievable group of veterans on the coast, and all of us are working in some form or fashion.
Exactly.
Keep everything out front and try to do things for the benefit of our veterans.
I tell you, the Mobile Baldwin County, South Alabama, can be proud of what the veterans do.
Yes, buddy.
You compare it to the other areas within the state of Alabama, the 375,000 veterans here in the state. And so we got over 70,000 here in South Alabama. So we try to keep everybody informed of what's going on. And we're going to have at our SAVC meeting on the 17th, we got Jerry Gardner, who owns Blacksmith Experience, is going to come in and talk about his blacksmithing class and what he does and what he does for veterans and for first responders. He started a 501c3 nonprofit, and he's working some scholarships for the veterans and stuff if they need it.
I'm going to get with him and do another interview with him on the Scuttlebutt.
Okay.
And we can't do it this week, but we can do it the next couple of weeks so that we can promote what he's doing.
Yeah, he's a lot of experience, and he's got on the 4th of December, he's going to have a thing out here at the battleship. It's going to be the benefit for scholarships for the veterans.
Phone number for how the POWMIA people or families members can get in touch with you.
251-471-4322.
And for more information, you can always check with the scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on burning down the house.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The events in our nation's capital on January the 6th, 2021, have shocked the conscience of the law-abiding people of this country. The juxtaposition of a peaceful rally and march led by freedom-loving patriots, President Trump among them,
followed by the shocking images of criminal thugs smashing their way past barricades and authorities in the Capitol building, it is difficult to reconcile for most people. Candidate and then President Trump has led tens, if not hundreds, of such rallies across this great nation. And in no instance has any resulted in the outcome that we witnessed in D.C. on that fateful afternoon. I, for one, was not glued to a TV, either for the rally and the president's remarks, nor was I able to watch the coverage of the events that unfolded soon thereafter on the steps of the Capitol and beyond as the peaceful protest was hijacked by yet-to-be-determined actors with less than honorable intentions. In truth, both Hollywood and our own location prepared to do a remote for SBN. As such, I was able to take in the events in something of hindsight. Without the panicked, almost predetermined reporting on the events, I found it hard to believe that in less than a couple of hours since the beginnings of the riot, not the rally, but the breaching of the Capitol building itself, that the hourly news reports on nearly every supposed news talk radio stations were decrying the events as the worst incursion into the United States federal building since the War of 1812, when the British invaded Washington and burned the Capitol and the White House. In doing so, they of course failed to mention the numerous times that the left has taken over buildings in our nation's capital during contentious hearings or votes or assaulted conservative lawmakers at their homes or in public. Not to mention the outright homicidal attack on conservative lawmakers on a baseball field, which almost cost Congressman Steve Scalise his life. One might think that they were prepped to roll out such hyperbole in their reporting, with the hope that such an event might occur in order to further the progressive agenda. Now, you might be saying, come on, Topcat. How would anyone be rooting for such an attack on the physical embodiment of one of our branches of government? Well, I think that the events that we have witnessed over the course of this last year have more than demonstrated that the communist progressives will stop at nothing to achieve their goal of attaining power and establishing a paradigm that will allow them to maintain control for the foreseeable future. Many of you know that I have been around for more than a few years and have seen my share of momentous events, both good and bad. But after hearing what happened at the Capitol, I could not shake the feeling that there was something more to what we were seeing unfold. Fortunately, it was the breathless reporting by the mouthpiece media that literally sparked it out in my head. The year was 1933, when on February the 27th in Germany, a sizable portion of the Parliament building in Berlin, the Reichstag, went up in flames from an arson attack. In the 10 years since his failed beer hall putsch in 1923, Adolf Hitler had poured his energy into attaining power as he rose to the head of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. For the highly educated snowflakes out there, that would be the Nazi Party. Despite its considerable growth, the Nazi Party won only 2.6% of the vote in 1928 election. The ensuing Great Depression caused massive social upheaval in Germany, which the Nazis exploited to gain further political traction. And by 1930, the Nazis had won 18.3% of the Reichstag, while the Communist Party garnered 10%. The Nazis aligned with other right-leaning factions and gradually worked their way up to 33% of the vote, but were unable to reach a full majority. In January 1933, Hitler was appointed as chancellor as a fireball against the rising tide of communism, much like today's progressives. Hitler knew not to let a good crisis go to waste, and in the aftermath of the Reichstag fire, placed the blame for the event on his communist opposition. Under pressure from Hitler, President Hindenburg invoked Article 48, and the cabinet drew up the decree of the Reich President for the protection of the people and the state. The act abolished freedom of speech, assembly, privacy, and the press, legalized phone tapping and interception of correspondence, and suspended the autonomy of federated states. The night of February 28th, around 4,000 people were arrested, imprisoned, and tortured by the Nazis. Although the Communist Party had won 17% of the Reichstag elections in November 1932, and the German people elected 81 communist deputies in the March 5 elections, many were detained indefinitely after the fire. Their empty seats left the Nazis largely free to do as they wished on their march to the final solution. Research done in 2013 cited witness testimonies that became available after the fall of the Soviet Union showed that the communists were likely not involved at all. Rather, it was a group of Nazis who instigated the fire and later covered up Nazi involvement, which brings my discussion full circle in 2021. As I mentioned earlier, the majority of pro-Trump freedom rallies throughout the nation over the last 6 years have been peaceful, with the exception of when, quote, anti-Trump groups have inserted themselves into the mix. These groups, such as Antifa and BLM, come looking for a clash wherever they appear, and they were scheduled to appear in D.C. on the 6th. Maybe their benefactor, George Soros, bought plane tickets for the wrong day, or maybe they were so engrossed in the latest round of Minecraft to escape from mommy's basement. But by all accounts in the media, they failed to appear on the mall during the rally. Or maybe, and call me crazy on this one, they had infiltrated the patriotic group, as few have reported in social media accounts bolster in the guise of Trump supporters, MAGA hats and Trump flags aloft. And just maybe they were the actual instigators, along with a purposely understaffed Capitol Police, with guidance from Speaker Botoxi in the breaking and entering of the Capitol. For those of you playing at home, the Capitol building is massive, and at least from the select images that the statewide government-run media is providing the sheeple, the rioters who led the charge were well-prepared to scale walls like Spider-Man and break through a few select locations with ground floor window access. That is when they were not being effectively escorted in by guards, as seen in some of the approved videos. A quick review of the available footage seems to bear this out, that the methods and tactics used to breach the Capitol were totally in line than those what we have seen throughout the 2020 summer of love and spaghetti potlucks that rioted with wanton disregard, looted with a purpose, destroyed lives and dreams, and placed a target on the heads of law enforcement throughout this nation. The very same tactics, with one exception, to quote, burn it to the ground. In all of the chaos that occurred in the Capitol, nothing was set ablaze. In fact, much of the carnage inside of the building seemed almost staged for photographers, which leads me to ponder, just why would someone undertake such a project? Just something to think about. But the deep state and the swamp creatures were still terrified of Donald Trump, even as they conducted the kabuki theater of certifying the results of the Electoral College. Even after 4 years of attempts to remove him from office with phony scandals and a sham impeachment, Trump is still fighting and his base has only grown under the withering fire from the progressives. So the incursion into the Capitol served two basic reasons. First, it shifted the focus of the nation from the very real constitutional challenges that were occurring in the joint session of Congress to the chaos that spread throughout the building. Second, and most importantly, it served a platform for Botoxi and the establishment to intensify their characterization of Trump supporters as smelly Walmart deplorables that need to be ostracized from society, both socially and physically. It was the final attempt to wipe Donald Trump and his movement not only from the history of this nation, but also to destroy any attempt that he and his movement might make to retake the government from the communist progressive deep state in the future. I think that they have failed on both accounts. In fact, I think that the actions of Botox, Schumer, and the government-run media-attacking freedom-loving patriots in the aftermath of the event have only solidified the Trump movement. At least for now, those patriots have the Constitution in their corner. It is still the greatest document for freedom that has ever been written. And at least for now, we have the God-given right to pursue liberty, and I believe that we still have the fighting spirit to keep it. That is confounding the progressives whose only God is themselves and government. But I feel certain that the torch of liberty still burns brightly in the hearts of patriots throughout this nation. And in the words of Churchill, we will never give up. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Have I mentioned I'm pissed off lately?
Where's your drill sergeant, man? Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Have I mentioned that? Oh, I've already said that. Oh, haven't I, Lou? But hey, let's get back to it. I enjoyed doing the tirade and the information that we obtained and was able to get out there. Just a thought for you to stop and think about, people. You know, everything's not like we see it, and everything's not like we're told that it is. But Lou, back to our blacksmith experience here, Jerry Gardner. He's an Air Force medic and Army National Guard member there.
He's field artillery, and then he's been doing blacksmithing for 19 years, and then he opened up his company over here in his for-profit company over here in Daphne, and he's expanding this fall. He's going to expand and So he's doing great things for the veterans and first responders.
Well, the people's questions, I'm sure, are why are you promoting a blacksmith? Well, you know, the reason for that is self-explanatory. Give us a little insight on that.
Well, the first responders and folks that he helps out to suffer from PTSD and...
Hold it. We are already into the... Ooh. And to all of our great friends and people out there with us today, we appreciate you being with us today. We appreciate Lou. Thank you for being on board with us.
Appreciate
the General, Nick, and all being on board, and for all of our great veterans and friends and back there. God bless you. And a big hoorah.